Today on Real Life Radio.
The Bible says you're wasting your time confessing your sins to a priest on this globe, in this world, who himself is a sinner and needs forgiveness of his own sins. But you are to go, you and I are to go to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Timothy, who is the mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
You know, in a hectic world, it's hard to find a moment's peace. A beautiful sunrise on a quiet beach gives temporary solace, but daily inspiration that will guide and uplift our spirits is what we need the most. It's why people of all ages are turning to devotions with Jack Hibbs. There's a new devotion each week, and previous devotions you can go to start each day with purpose and hope. Jack Hibbs devotions are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, When God Prepares to Die, Part 1. You know, this series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ as only Luke, the physician, can. Here now, as we continue in chapter 22, we'll consider why God chose to come to earth in human form. You see, unlike the man-made gods of other religions, the God of the Bible came to earth through his son Jesus Christ. Jesus was 100% God and 100% human. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack says that Jesus came to earth as the final Passover sacrifice. He offered himself freely on the cross, and with his own blood he offered eternal life to all who believe. Now with his message called When God Prepares to Die, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Have you ever sinned? Have you ever messed up? How awesome! Have we gotten cold and callous and unappreciative of the fact that when we do that, we can run to the Father and say, Father, forgive me. Did you know that the Father says, excellent, ek homologeo, you have confessed your sin. You have said the same word. My son died for that. Your sin is taken away. You guys, we get to go free. That's the life of a believer. By the way, Hebrews 9 verse 12 says that Jesus did this not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once and for all. Bible students in here, where is the most holy place? I want all of you to take your finger, pull it out, pull out your finger, hold it straight up. I need all of you to do this. Some of you are just not with us today. You guys, the most holy place is no longer on earth. It's up there. It's with him. That's where Jesus offered himself as our priest. And the book of Hebrews also says he couldn't have walked in. Jesus could not have walked into that place in heaven without what? Blood. His own blood. And his blood sacrifice for you and I is eternally set upon the mercy seat in heaven, not the Ark of the Covenant that Indiana Jones is going after someplace. People ask, what happens if we find the Ark of the Covenant? Are people going to die if they touch it? Nope. Well, does it have any significance? It's worth a lot of money. What if they find the Ark of the Covenant, which is somewhere on earth? I mean, think of that. It's somewhere on earth. Frankly, I could care less. It's dead. It's dead because it's not my mercy seat anymore. I don't care where it is. In fact, in the last days, it's probably going to be found, pulled out, and worshiped by people in the world. That's the way people are. They'll worship it instead of the thing that it was speaking of, or I should say, the one in whom it was speaking of. We're real suckers. I mean, not you guys here at this church, but humans are real suckers for worshiping junk and icons and things. Hey, let's celebrate Passover. What for? Unless you know what it means. You've got to know what it means. Are you religious? Good luck to you. You're religious. Good luck. I don't usually say the word good luck because I don't believe in it. But if you're religious, luck is all you've got. Do you have the Christ of the Passover? Do you have that? Do you have him? And so it goes on in Hebrews. Hebrews 9 goes on in verse 13, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit offer himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" This is Jesus, my Passover. Is he your Passover? It's awesome. Verses 7 and 8 goes on, and it says there that when the Passover should be killed, it's the feast, the day of unleavened bread. When? We talked about those combined two holy days really pressed together into 1 week. The day of Passover is a day. The feast of unleavened bread is celebrated in a week-long event. When God prepares to die, he sets his table in order, my friend, and he brings the word of God to life. Secondly, he arranges everything himself. This is the Passover, my friend, and he is the Passover. He's not only the meal, he's the sacrifice. In a way, he's the cook. He's the host. Look, he's the dessert. He's everything. He's the one setting up the table. He's the one watching over every aspect of it. Notice that Jesus sends Peter and John to make preparations. He didn't send Judas. And God bless Peter. I mean, Peter, imagine Peter and Judas going somewhere. One's a thief, and one guy just is gifted at making mistakes. Can you imagine those two? Judas and Peter, John and... John, take Peter and keep an eye on him when you go. Not Judas. He's arranging everything. And there's an awesome thing that's about to unfold, and I got to tell you right now, I don't know the answer to what I'm about to put before you, but there's almost a clandestine move of events that Jesus is either A, scholars, they argue and bicker, and there's no clear answer on this. Is Jesus, being God in flesh, orchestrating these clandestine events, or are these people who we don't know their names in a moment, that Jesus knew that while he was in Jerusalem, these arrangements had been previously made? The answer is we don't know. We don't have to know. The answer is he's arranging everything. You say, "Well, Jack, I want to know." No, you don't. Trust me, because here's the deal. How much goes on in your life and mine that we don't know what's happening? Why is this going on? How come this? How come that? Right? Isn't that how we are? What's the deal? You know what? Maybe you can never get a sufficient answer for yourself from anybody, but this I know. He's in it. He's there. And so verse 9 says, "So they said to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare?' And Jesus said to them, 'Behold, when you have entered in the city,'" that's Jerusalem, "'mark it, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house in which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of that house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where we may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room there, make ready.'" This is amazing. We don't need to spend much time on it, just simply to say this. Never underestimate the things that God is involved in your life. Why? Because things may look completely ridiculous. You may not look at that and say, "How in the world can God be in that?" You say, "What are you saying that for?" Because, ladies and gentlemen, church family, check it out. When Jesus said, "I want you to go into the city and you'll see a man carrying a what? A water pot." You say, "Well, so what?" That's the so what. This is the so what. Men were not allowed to carry water pots. That's the sign. "Oh, Jesus, show me a sign." Okay, I'll show you a man carrying a water pot. "How are we going to know?" "I'll show you a man. He's carrying a water pot." You say, "I don't get it." Men didn't carry water pots. Women carried water pots in those days. Men were not allowed. They would think you're from San Francisco. That's a place north of Tel Aviv. They would say, "What? What is that guy? Confused, thinks he's a woman." No man carries a pot of water like that. Men carried wine skins. Men did not carry pots of water. Jesus says, "You'll see a man carrying a pot of water." Maybe they laughed. Can you imagine that? That's so silly. I'm serious. You'll see a man carrying a pot of water. Things in life may not make any sense. God is at work. He's doing a great thing. And on top of it, notice this. Verse 10 says, behold, when you have entered the city. Look at verse 11. Then you shall say. Verse 12, then he will show you. Jesus is arranging everything. And then thirdly, check this out. He sets his table in order by welcoming all those involved. Look at verse 13. By welcoming all those involved. So they went and found, what does it say, church? Just as he had said to them. You know what? That little statement looks frail on the surface, but that really encourages me. They found it just as he said. You guys, we need to meditate on that. Don't raise your hand right now. I want you to think about this. Do you really believe in the Lord? Do you really believe that you have his Bible in your life? Is he important to you at all? If it's true to those things, then the reason why is because he's the God who keeps his word. And you're not going to want to hear this. But unless we stop being Sunday Christians, you guys, let me put it to you like this. The Lord is jealous for your heart. He wants you. He's not interested in your money. We're interested in your money. We need your money to help build the East Wing building. God's not interested in that. We need you to tithe. God doesn't need you to tithe. He wants something that there's no price tag that you can put on it, and it's you.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The most profound place of what we could call today, and please don't misunderstand me, I mean this in the most innocent way, a husband and wife, when either if it's them being the only one in the house, if it's just the couple, they'll lock the door and draw the curtains, and they'll smooch all over each other, and the rest of the stuff, fill in the blanks. If you have kids, you send them on a mission, or you lock the door. What happens? A unity, a love, a peace, a closeness, a sharing that is only trumped by our relationship with God. That the creator of the universe says, I want you to fellowship with me. I want you to talk with me. I want to talk with you. Church, how can that relationship be non-eventful in your life? If a physical union with a husband and a wife is eventful and designed to be so, that even the Lord himself says, I am the head of the church, the groom. The church is my bride-to-be. He speaks to us that way that we might get it. Think about your own life right now. Where are you? Is your relationship with the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, your sin and mine? How close are you with him? How hot is that relationship with him? Are you crazy about him? How about this? Let's be honest. Are you crazy about him? You might say, well, yeah, today. Next week, I might not be so crazy. We all understand that. Because you know what? Don't we have to keep our love stoked, the flame? How tragic it is for me to admit this for all of us. I start with me first. Do we not have to stoke the flames of our passion and love for him to keep it going in our own lives? Wouldn't it be great if we just loved him like a bunch of crazy people 24/7? But do we not get complacent? Do we not get apathetic? Is that not manifested in what is today seen as spectator Christianity? Is it not what Jesus warned about, that we're lukewarm? Let's be honest. If somehow you were convinced that God had died, never to be risen from the dead, would it change your life? Would it even bother you? Would it affect you? This is serious stuff. This is probing. Can you imagine? In the secret place of a husband and a wife where love is assumed, that there's some ritualistic act of unity and no love? What is that? If any one of those two are practicing the acts of love without love, is that somehow worse than someone who says, I know God. Oh, Jesus? Yeah, I know Jesus. Oh, I own a Bible. Oh, I go to church every week. And there's no change in their life. There's no reality to it. Man, isn't that heavy? Because what I'm talking about is not legalism. You say, well, I don't like what you're saying. How come? Why? Is it not true? That's why 1 John says we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. Those of you who are married, those of you who are not married, listen real close to what I'm about to say. There's a time in marriage when this time comes. I tell you what, there are seasons in marriage when this time comes. And you look at your wife or you look at your husband and you go, what did I ever see in that? You know, when you look over and your husband's stomach's sticking out and he's got crumbs on his belly and he's sitting in front of the Ohio SC game with a TV tray. Don't bother me, don't bother me. You know what love does? Love says, I love him. Love says, you know what? I'm going to fight this grand temptation by reminding myself that I love him, that we have a life together, that God's called us together. You guys know that in Christianity, what separates the Christian boys from the Christian men or the Christian ladies from the Christian girls is when we say, you know what? These are dry times. These are hard times. These are difficult times. I'm going to love him. I'm just going to love him. He's my Jesus. He died for me. I'm going to love him. Stay at it. Did you know that has to come in our walks with God? It has to be. Do you think for a moment that in our lives you're going to always have, you know that ridiculous, I can say it now because I'm an old guy. Young love is actually pathetic, insane, and dangerous, young love. First of all, emotionally, it's overcharged. It's insane. You stay up all night talking to that person. You smell their perfume and you like go into a trance. And you go, don't knock it. Hey, listen, some people have to live like that. And they go from man to man to man or woman to woman to woman. Why? They've never loved anybody ever before. They've never loved anybody at all, and they still don't. That's not love. I can't live without them. Well, you better grow up because that ain't love. We've all gone through that. It's a vibe, it's a feel, it's infatuation, it's heavily connected to imagination and emotions and hormones. It's horrible. You say, how can you say it's horrible? It's so fantastic. Listen, be grateful that it only lasts a short period of time, honestly, because you can't live a life like that. Can you imagine? I just want to be by your side. No, you have to go to work now and pay the bills. No, I want to be with you. Go to work. Why? We go from that silliness into a maturity that makes a home, that makes a life. I had to preface that by saying, as we end with this, verse 13 says, so they went out and found it just as he said, and they prepared the Passover. They went and they got a little lamb, and this would be the last one that God would ever, well, in fact, it would be the last time that those disciples would ever practice Passover the same. Ever since that sacrifice of Jesus, those are empty religious acts that without love, they're nothing. Church, mark these down. They're very valuable. Isaiah 53:10 says concerning Jesus and the Passover. Isaiah 53:10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and he shall prolong his days and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Let me reread it to you this way. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, Christ. He, that is the Lord, has put him, Christ, to grief. When the Lord makes him, Christ, his soul, an offering for sin. The word that it pleased the Lord to put Jesus to the cross, the word in Hebrew means it pleased him, satisfied him. It was a desire that was quenched. Listen, everybody, you need to get this. It was a desire that God had that was quenched or satisfied when Jesus went to the cross. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit was delighted that Jesus would go to the cross. And if you don't get that down, you're going to mess up. You're going to think, what sort of a sick God would send his son to the cross? Don't think that way. God was happy to have his son go to the cross. Isaiah 53:11, the very next verse says, for he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge of his righteous servant, and it shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Church, you remember how we started this message? How is it that the Lord, the eternal God, is going to be the Redeemer of the world? Because it is the eternal God who went to the cross. And the Bible says here that the Lord saw the Christ suffer and bear the iniquities of us all. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. Tell me, when in history did that happen? Tell me, how big is your God? My God can do that. Do you have a God that died on the cross? Do you have a God that rose again from the dead? Do you have a God who knows how you feel? Do you have a God who said, hey, here's the deal. I will die in your place. I will forgive you. I will set you free. I will change your life. Your life's not over. I give new life to all those who come to me. The question is, why and how does he do that? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, now listen, put this in light of all that you've just learned from the Old Testament and from what's going on at Passover. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now all things are of God. Listen, God, the Lord, who has reconciled us to himself, that is the Lord, through who? Through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God, the Lord, was in Christ, that's Jesus, reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses to them any longer. 1 Corinthians 5:7, for indeed Christ is our Passover who was sacrificed for us. Here we go, we're almost done. John 3:15, wow. John 3:15, beginning there, watch this. Whoever believes in him, the Christ, should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 16, for God, the Lord, so loved the world that he, that is the Lord, gave his only begotten son, that's Christ, that whoever believes in him, the Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. For God, that is the Lord, did not send his son, the Christ, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, that's Christ, might be saved. He who believes in Christ is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only, that's Christ, begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for our sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That's the Lord. He, Christ, was put to death in his body, but made alive by the Holy Spirit. Last verse, 1 John 4:9. 1 John 4:9. Check this out. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his son, his only begotten son, into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he, that is the Lord God, loved us and sent his son, that is the Christ, to be the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins. Can someone say amen? Oh my goodness. I don't know about you, but this sets me free.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called When God Prepares to Die, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, do you often wonder about what the future might hold? Our current featured resource called The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times offers an entertaining yet informative exploration through the bewildering world of end time prophecies, making this a perfect read for both the curious and the skeptical. The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.